you listen to His Glory Lives broadcast to tell you Jesus Christ is alive and His glory lives in the believer. We're dedicated to the study of the Word of God and promoting the gospel. Good morning. Today we are studying Hebrews chapter 11. This is a wonderful chapter. It's called the Faith chapter. Paul has finished his teaching on the plan of God that he has taught us in Romans and Hebrews about the old law and the old covenant. And now he's telling you how to walk in the new covenant. Last week, when we studied Hebrews 10, we saw the final result of the new covenant, that it brings righteousness. And that's what Paul is trying to relate to all the readers, that righteousness is the culmination of the plan of God. And we saw it in the cleansing of the high priest in Zechariah 3. And we want to review that a little today. And we want to be sure that you get the message that Paul is trying to relate to us of how to receive salvation. In Zechariah's vision, God had clothed the high priest Joshua with righteousness. In the vision, Joshua had come before the Lord, and his garments and his headpiece were filthy, representing the unrighteousness of the flesh and the human nature, the carnal man. And in this vision, Zechariah sees the cleansing of the high priest. He is given a new robe of righteousness, and a new turban of righteousness was placed upon his head, representing what Christ brought in his sacrifice. Zechariah heard the Lord say, "The reason that we are cleansed from our sins is because of the branch. It's because of Jesus and what he did on Calvary. He is the one that has purchased our righteousness. He not only has redeemed our soul with his death, but he also made us pure and holy when we are born again. It's a great treasure, and it's everlasting and forever." In Revelation, the Lord tells us, if we will overcome and we will believe and walk in faith, that we will receive a crown of righteousness. We will be clothed with the righteousness that only Christ can give. There's no way we can work ourselves into it. It has to be given by Him, and it was at great cost that we have it. The high priest Joshua in that vision could represent Jesus in his humanity, because he had taken upon himself a robe of flesh. He was in an earthly body with a human nature that has unrighteousness in it. But we know that Jesus did not sin, even though he had this corruptible human nature, as we have. This vision is really of Jesus and the ceremony in heaven when God accepted his sacrifice for our sins. He clothed Jesus and took off that old corruptible flesh, the sins of all mankind, and he clothed him with the righteousness that he had with his Father before he came to the earth. So Joshua could represent Jesus when he came in the flesh in this vision. But we also must mention that during the time that Zechariah had this vision, there was a high priest named Joshua in the temple there. We also said that Joshua represents you and me, that we will be clothed with righteousness, because Paul told us in the last part of Hebrews 10 and verse 19 that we are priests, and that we have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Verse 19 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And he says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. So he's telling us to persevere and to trust in the sacrifice of Jesus, because he has removed our unrighteousness in one day by his sacrifice. And now we can approach God and we can talk to him. And he said, the just shall live by faith. Today's lesson concerning faith is about believing and unbelieving. That's what faith is. It's believing. We've talked at length about unbelief. And now Paul is going to turn our attention to believing, having faith, and walking by faith in the plan and the righteousness that he has shown you. He's given us the plan of God, and it's in Jesus. It's the new covenant where he writes his laws upon our hearts and in our minds when we are born again. And it gives us the power to overcome this world and to walk in righteousness. So we're going to be discussing today what faith is, and hopefully maybe find out what it is not. It is not imagination. Faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That's Hebrews 11:1. Now, I can look at an empty room and I can imagine that there might be a chair sitting in that room when I return to it tomorrow. I have no basis for imagining that a chair will be placed in the room before I return tomorrow. But if I know there's going to be a chair sitting in that room, then I have some basis, because someone has told me they're going to put a chair in that room. I have a basis then to believe that there will be a chair put in that room. The same is true with faith. We have some substance to believe that it's going to come to pass. And that is the Word of God. We have a foundation of the Word of God. We have the plan of God. He has given us a glimpse of the mystery of God to know what His plans are. Faith is also evidence. That's a legal term that is accepted for conviction or exoneration. This scripture does not say circumstantial evidence, which may lead one to believe in one direction or another. So there's a great difference between evidence and circumstantial evidence. It says evidence, highly depended upon, without a shadow of a doubt. Concrete evidence, which is totally reliable. The smoking gun. And that's what we have today. We have the smoking gun of the evidence of the Word of God to let us know that what we have faith in is sound. So we have something reliable and dependable, the Word of God, to depend upon in making our determination of whether to believe or not believe the plan of God. That's the issue, belief or unbelief. and those that believe walk in faith in this plan and this gospel that Paul is trying to explain to us. It's a great treasure, and it's not to be taken lightly. It's to be considered holy because it's the plan of God. And as in a jury or in a trial, it's a life and death situation. Either you believe in the blood of Jesus and the sacrifice of Jesus, or you do not. Receive life if you believe, but you are condemned already if you don't believe. So we know the plan of God is holy and pure, and we've got the evidence of the Word of God and the testimony of many saints that we're going to read about today in Hebrews 11. We're going to see their faith. They all believed, and they didn't even see what we see today. We see the full plan of God and how Jesus died on the cross for our sins. We see the gospel of grace, the new covenant where God writes His laws on our hearts and makes us a new creature. We see far more than these people saw, but yet they believed. It's a question of believing and unbelieving. This question of faith means you believe, you sell out, you are wholeheartedly given to that cause. We have faith that the Word of God is true. It's been tried and been tested. When we are born again, we are changed. We are new people. We know something happened to us, and we believed in the Word of God, and we believed in the sacrifice of Jesus, and we know it changed us. Hardened criminals have been changed by the Word of God. Now, Paul, all through Romans and all through Hebrews, has contrasted faith with works. All through these teachings, he has had to fight religious leaders about this issue, about walking by faith, and those who want to add something to faith. It's that old human nature that wants to add something to faith, because the old human nature wants to take credit for salvation. They will tell you you have to be baptized, or they'll tell you that you have to be circumcised, as the Jewish leaders did, or they'll tell you that you have to do all kinds of rules and rituals. The Jewish priest had to go through a ceremonial cleansing before they could even go into the Holy of Holies, because they did not have on righteous garments. But when Jesus died upon the cross, that branch, who is Jesus, died upon the cross for us, and one day He gave us righteousness. We are clean in Christ. And many want to add water baptism. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Water baptism is something that every Christian and born-again person should do. But they should realize that that is a work added to faith. You were born again because of your faith in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. The declaration of His righteousness states that we have none of our own, that it's only His that is going to stand. So if someone tells you that you're saved by water baptism, and they give you all these scriptures that are taken out of context, you must examine some of that. Or they tell you you have to worship God on a certain day, or that you shouldn't eat meats. Any attachment to faith is works. It's no longer faith. It's works. And guess who gets the credit in works? Man does. Who gets the credit in faith? God does. We have our faith in Him and Him alone. Now, when Paul was confronted by all these religious leaders who were arguing with him continuously when he tried to witness to them the Lord Jesus Christ, he finally said in the scripture, "I know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Please don't add anything to your faith to take away from Jesus." You know, it's kind of like a metronome on a piano. That metronome goes one side and it'll go to the other. It's based in the middle, so it can go either to the left or to the right. And as it clicks, it goes each way. And one way is the way of faith. One way is the way of works. And in the middle, you're in the valley of indecision. So many Christians are like that. They switch back and forth. They can't make up their mind. Should I be doing this to please God, and should I be doing that to buy my salvation? Let's rest in the Lord and have faith that He has paid it all. But let's walk in righteousness as He walked, and choose and be settled in our mind about the basics of salvation. That's what we've been covering. We want you to have a firm foundation in Jesus Christ, and no other foundation will do. In the day of judgment, the foundation that we have put our trust in will be tested, as it says in 1 Corinthians. If it was of wood or hay or stubble, it'll be burned up. But if our foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ and His righteousness, then we have a sure foundation, and we know that God will receive us and give us a crown of righteousness because of Christ and not because of our works. So let's just look at some of these early Christians who served God by faith and who have gone through such terrible ordeals that we could never even imagine walking through, and yet they trusted God. Let's read Hebrews 11 in the New Living Translation. The heading here is Great Examples of Faith. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. And through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed His approval of his gifts. And although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. And it's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. And it was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going, and even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith. For he was like a foreigner, living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. And Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. She believed that God would keep his promise. And so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead, a nation with so many people that like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there is no way to count them. And all these people died, still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance, and they welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on this earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country that they can call their own. If they had longed for the country they came from, they could have gone back. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That's why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And it was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son Isaac. Even though God had told him, "Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted." Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. It was by faith that Isaac promised blessings for the future to his sons Jacob and Esau. And it was by faith that Jacob, when he was old and dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons, and he bowed in worship as he leaned on his staff. It was by faith that Joseph, when he was about to die, said confidently that the people of Israel would leave Egypt. He even commanded them to take his bones with them when they left. It was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. They saw that God had given them an unusual child, and they were not afraid to disobey the king's command. It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to his great reward. And it was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt. Not fearing the king's anger, he kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. It was by faith that Moses commanded the people of Israel to keep the Passover and to sprinkle blood on the doorpost so that the angel of death would not kill their firstborn sons. It was by faith that the people of Israel went right through the Red Sea as though they were on dry ground. But when the Egyptians tried to follow, they were all drowned. And it was by faith that the people of Israel marched around Jericho for 7 days, and the walls came crashing down. It was by faith that Rahab, the prostitute, was not destroyed with the people in her city who refused to obey God, for she had given a friendly welcome to the spies, and they had spared her. How much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. And by faith these people overthrew kingdoms. They ruled with justice, and they received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, they quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back again from death. But others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. And they placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at, and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons, and some died by stoning. And some were sawn in half, and others were killed with the sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering in deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. And all these people earned a good reputation because of their faith. Yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had something better in mind for us, so that they would not reach perfection without us. We are included in God's plan. Please pray this prayer with me. Father, we are so thankful that you have sent righteousness to us. But we do know, Lord, that you want us to repent of our sins and to trust in you, Father. And we repent of our sins, Father, and we rely upon the righteousness of Christ that lives within us. And we praise you for your plan of salvation. We ask that you deliver us from evil, Father, and lead us down paths of righteousness, for that is well-pleasing unto you. Give us the strength and the power to overcome sin, that we may live victorious in you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, we thank you for being with us today. And if you don't have a church home, we wish to invite you to All Seasons Worship Center on Highway 35 South in Forest, Mississippi. You can listen to this broadcast again on our website at www.secondredemption.com. That is www.2ndredemption.com, secondredemption.com. Tune in next Sunday at this same time. You can support this broadcast with your prayers and telling others about the program. Thanks for listening. May the Lord bless you in the reading of His Word. Leading me inside.